In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we shall continue our journey to the Promised Land. But before we can get to the Promised Land, we have to cross the Jordan River. Imagine yourself that you are in the group among the millions of people getting ready to enter the land of Canaan by following Joshua. And of course, we know the journey is not easy, but we are getting closer and closer each day. Isn't it nice to know that you are getting closer, right? It's not getting further. You are getting closer. Just like in NYTS here, right? After today, tomorrow will be Tuesday, and we are getting closer to the end, right? If you know we are getting closer to our goal, it's always nice. So make sure you follow the footstep of Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, we mentioned about the Jordan River. Geographically, it was a natural hindrance from anyone coming from the east to go to the west. Because you can imagine, in those days, there was no bridge, there was no ferries, and most people don't know how to swim. They never go swimming before and never have taken any swimming lesson. So all they see water may be brooks, or they drink water from the rock, especially the Israelites. But they have to cross this Jordan River. And God make a very interesting arrangement for them is when flooding season. Soon after winter, the snow melts from Lebanon, the water flows downwards and is flooded both sides to make the land fertile. But actually, it's the hardest time to cross. And that Jordan River can represent any difficulties that will stop you from entering God's promise. May not necessarily only referring to heaven in the future, eternal life, but even this life, if you want blessing from God, if you want true joy, true peace, happy family, very tranquil, very peaceful mindset, or very satisfied life, spiritually and physically, you have to overcome something to get there. There's always obstacle for you to overcome. Don't just admire other people. Don't just envy other people. Oh, why their life is so good. Oh, why they're so healthy. You know, why they have 6-pack, I only have 1-pack. Right? I have 1-pack. I look at those people who have 6-pack. One day I have to learn, right? Oh, don't just admire people. You know, wow, they can play piano. They play violin, they know instruments, but I don't know anything. Well, of course you don't know anything because you don't pay the effort. You don't overcome your own laziness, right? You just want to be there. You just stand there on the other side of the Jordan and you're looking, envying. Wow, it's so nice. But you don't want to put the effort and you'll be so pathetic the rest of your life because you can only admire people, other people, and be jealous. But there's no need to be like that. You can change it. You can choose your own destiny by following the promise of God. God has given you promise, every one of you, and your life is going to be blessed. But you have to overcome your own challenge. And that is the Jordan River. That can mean anything for different people. But it's up to you to see whether you're going to cross it. So this morning we mentioned about the ark have to go first. You must let God take the lead. It's not about you. Even when we do church work, it's not about you. Or when you choose a major, it's not about you. When you choose a career in the future, it's not about you. Even when you try to find someone to get married, right, brothers, in a few years. Not now, of course, not in MITS. But in a few years' time, you have to make a decision. Or sister, the same, right? But actually, it's not about you. It's not about your choice. Sometimes we are mistaken. Oh, my life, my choice. I make decision for myself. Sorry, you make it wrong. If you are Christian, If you are children of God, you don't make decision for yourself. God makes decision for you and you follow it. You have to have faith to see God's arrangement and follow it. You don't choose where and when to cross the Jordan. You choose to follow God's arrangement. If God's arrangement is during the most difficult time, you cross it, then you have to follow. You cannot say, God, you know, come on, are you joking? Now there's so much water. Why don't you wait 3 more months? Well, God said, now is the time. You cannot say, God, come on, I don't know how to swim. Let's give me a swimming lesson first before we can cross, right? Because God said, no, you don't need a swimming lesson. You just go. You just follow me. I go before you. I go in front of you. You just follow me. Sometimes we have too much opinion. We want to walk in front of God. We want to be our own ruler of our destiny. We want to take charge of our own life. And that's why we always go into a mess. Look at your life right now, right? Be honest. Be honest, right? Is it a mess? Is it a lot of mess going on? You have to clean up and you don't know how, you don't even know how to clean up. Look at your computer. So many junk files are there. So many viruses. Look at your phone, right? So many rubbish. And look at your interpersonal relationship. You have 1,000 friends and in Facebook and Instagram, right? But you have no true friends. You have so many addicted to social media, but you don't know how to talk to people. You text every minute, but you don't know how to write a proper sentence or a proper article, isn't it? Or a proper email even. People say, okay, write an email. I don't know how to email. Just text, right? Is it our life? Is it the life of this so-called I generation? It's a mess, I tell you. And so many people are so depressed because heavily addicted to social media. They live under the image, false image. They want to portray to the world, to the friend. Whatever they do, whatever they eat, look like a perfect life. But actually, it's a mess. Because this is an I generation, people want to take lead of their own life. But they forget, it is not about you. If you are children of God, remember, it's not about you, it's about God. And if you let the ark walk in front of you, it'll be different. But it's not easy. Sometimes we forget. And we have to keep a distance between you and the ark. We mentioned about this morning, chapter 3. Let's turn back to chapter 3, verse 4. Chapter 3, verse 4. Sophia, can you read for us, please? Chapter 3, verse 4. Underline this in your Bible. 2,000 cubits. Even though you follow God, you follow the ark, you follow the priest, but live a distance. Don't follow that close. Why? The first reason is you must respect God. Ark is the holy object, represent God's presence. If not traveling, is put in the tent of tabernacle. And you're normal people, you shouldn't get too close. But of course, 2,000 cubits is half a mile. Half a mile is quite a distance. Why? Because if you don't keep this distance, you will not see clearly. If everybody crowded just right behind the ark, where will other people know where are we heading? So keep a distance, leave a distance, leave some space for God to lead in your life. Don't just always ask God, is that right? I want to know this. I want to do it tomorrow. Or sometimes we even in our mouth, we say that, oh God, please lead me wherever you lead me, I want to go. And then you say, how about this? I want to go here. And then I say, God, make sure you don't lead me there, right? And then you say, oh yeah, please be my guide, but I don't like that place. Make sure you don't lead me there. Other place, I'm fine. But oh, also, don't go there too. We have so many opinions. But leave space for God to work in your life. God can work in different directions. The big direction is cross Jordan River to the west. But exactly which pond where they cross is decided by God. And remember something in spiritual life, never say never. My wife used to tell me, when she was young, she said to herself, I am never going to marry somebody who doesn't speak Taiwanese. Because she thinks, I'm never going to move out of Taiwan after I marry. So I don't like to marry, even though I know I must marry in the future, I don't want to marry somebody who doesn't speak my local dialect. And it ends up, I don't speak Taiwanese. When she met me, right? Even now, I'm not good at Taiwanese either. But doesn't matter, right? She said, well, never, and then God will bring it to you. So be very careful when you say never. Your dream will come true. The opposite way. Sometimes brother say, oh, you know, no way. In the future, whoever I marry must be very beautiful. Oh, be careful what you say. You just say to God, God, you know, look isn't important. Beauty is a bonus, but beauty inside is what I pray for. Right? Look isn't important at all. And then God say, okay. I will give you somebody, have both. Or I will make you see the beauty and then become, you know, you add up the points, right? The more you see her, wow, the more beautiful she become. But if you say, no this, no that. Oh. Or sister, the same. Don't say, oh, I'm never going to marry a brother shorter than me. Or have a lower education than me. Be careful what you say, right? Never say never. Because you must give space for God to work in your life, right? God can do miracle, and God can match the impossible, and God can change us. So never limit what God can do in your life. Leave all the options open. Don't say, I don't want to move to that country. I don't want to take that kind of jobs. I don't want to do this kind of holy work. It's not for me, right? Who is God? Come on. Who is God? If you have so many opinions, tell me, who is God? Is it you are God or God is God? Who is the boss? So be humble in the way that let God take control. You can tell God, okay, you know, God, I don't know what is best for me, but you decide for me. I met a brother in the past, and by God's grace, and thank God that we helped him to matchmaking. And after Mary, actually, he was very happy. And he is still very happy after some years in marriage. And he shared with me. He said, Pastor, you know, I want to share with you is, when you asked me many years ago, what kind of sister that I prefer? Actually, I set a lot of criteria, but actually, I look back, none of those really describe what my current wife is. But it turns out that, wow, God prepares the best. So his conclusion is, he didn't know what he really need. But God prepares. Wow. So give space for God to lead. And number three, if you read chapter 3, verse 5, they have to learn how to cleanse themselves. Joshua told the people, sanctify yourself, because tomorrow God will be amongst you and do miracles. Listen carefully. Tomorrow God is not leading from heaven or giving instruction remotely. God will come down himself amongst you. This is how God works. He will not just remotely control you. He wants to be with you, amongst you, and lead you. But the problem is, a lot of time when God tries to come down and live with us and help us, he finds out that, wow, this place is pretty dirty. I cannot stand here for 1 second. How many of you are really clean freak, right? You don't hate dirty. You hate bad smell. You hate there's one little garbage on the ground when you go to the toilet, right? If there's a tiny mark left by the previous user, you cannot use it. Yeah. So if you don't like it, other people don't like it. So make sure after you use the toilet, clean yourself. I mean, not clean yourself, but clean the toilet. Don't just clean yourself only, but clean the toilet. If you left any brownish mark there, you brush it off, clean it up, right? I'm not joking. This is a holy place. I know in the house, your mother will do it for you, but this is not your house. This is God's house. Even not in NYTS, even every Sabbath day, if you use the toilet, you go any place, you make a mess there, you clean it up. This is the basic. Don't say, oh, I learned so much Bible. You know, I've been to 5 NYTS and I still want to come back next year. But if you don't even know, do these small things in church, come on, what you go for NYTS for? Just to show people you know something, but you don't even clean up your own mess. Right? Spiritually, the same. Clean up your own mess. If you make a mark, if it's not clean, and the next user is coming in, and the next user is God, and God said, wow, I was going to lead you, I was going to help you, but look at your life, it's a mess. Look at your computer, it's so dirty, I mean, inside. Look at your phone, what have you viewed? What is in your music? What are you listening? Where do you go to hang out with your friends? I'm not saying that you shouldn't have any worldly friends, but where do you guys go and what do you guys talk? So clean yourself first before God can come down. And when he came down, make sure he find a clean place. And so that he can start to lead. And why we don't see God's guidance nowadays? Because we don't get ourselves ready. So Joshua told them, get yourself ready by sanctifying yourself. Because tomorrow God is coming. And we will do miracles among us. Not just in NYTS. We have to cleanse ourselves. I know we have been cleaning ourselves spiritually for 8 days now, so I'm sure now you're pretty clean because there's no internet access here. You're so detached to your phone. But real challenge started to come when you enter the world. But every day, remind yourself, clean yourself spiritually, mindset, ears, all the 5 senses. And number 4, before they get ready, is to listen God's word. Let's turn to verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10 to 11. Next, please, 10 to 11. God said, I will walk in front of you. So they have to listen to God one more time, his word and his assurance. And then now they're almost ready, but not totally yet. One last thing God wants to tell them, and actually tell the priest. And God has given a tremendous challenge to the priest who is walking in the front with the ark, a very big test of faith. They have to walk by faith. Let's read verse 13 next. Underline this verse. This is the instruction. All the preparation come to this point, and that is how exactly they are going to cross. They are going to walk by faith. And the priest must go first. The priest have to step out first, and then the water will stop. It is contrary to crossing of the Red Sea 40 years ago. If you still remember, 40 years ago is Moses raised up his hand, his staff, and then the wind came, blow the Red Sea overnight, and what will happen? Dry ground is there, and then people will walk down. That was 40 years ago when they were babies, when they were spiritual babies, when they know nothing much about God. Yes, God gave them an easier way open the way first, and then you will walk. But after 40 years of training in the wilderness, their faith should be better. They should trust in God more. So God tells them, this time, the priest will step in. Even though there's no any sign of stopping of the water. Now you may think, right? I think in the past, you may think, that, okay, stepping in is not that difficult, right? Because the water is very quiet, and then just like by the lakeside, how many of you have been to youth camping, right? Wow, the sunset of the evening backdrop, wow, the lake is so peaceful. And then, wow, you should remove your shoes, and then even though you don't know how to swim, but you play with the water with your ankle, you know, having fun, you know, kicking it. And there's no problem, right? God, that is easy. No, it's not like that. Because when? If it was 3 months ago, it was like that. But now, remember, it is a flooding season. Flooding season, the water looked like this. The water was mighty, furious, fast, and there's no easy entry point. How many of you don't even know swimming? Be honest, raise your hand. It's okay. Don't laugh at them publicly, okay? Well, everybody have their own gift, right? Yeah, maybe some of us don't know how to swim. If you don't know how to swim, maybe in the future, learn it, right? You are still young, right? You're still young, learn it. Maybe one day, we will face the test. But can you imagine, if you don't know how to swim, I think we try to avoid water, right? There's nothing wrong with that. Well, some people who are drunk, actually all people who die of drowning, actually, they know how to swim. Right? Most people, they drunk in the water, they know, because they think they know, but actually, they don't know. Or they end up in the dangerous waters. But if you don't know how to swim, usually avoid water. Now, the priests, for sure, they were born in the wilderness. They never take one day lessons. And they don't know how to swim, for sure, I think. Now, carrying the ark, stepping in the water like this, it takes a lot of faith. Wow, the water is rushing. Come on. And you're carrying something heavy, and you don't know how to swim. And I'm sure God didn't give them a life jacket. There was no life jacket. Come on. If you don't know how to swim, but you have a life jacket, you feel safe, right? Yeah, at least I'll float. But you don't have any life jacket. God said, go first. Now, if you were the priest, how would you think? Is there anybody can take my place today? Is there anybody can take my assignment? Maybe tomorrow But for the priest, they have no choice. They have to listen to God. And if they are afraid, what will happen to the people back there? Wow, they will falter. Everybody will cry. So the priest has the point of no return. They have to move forward. So God sometimes put us into a position like this, right? There's no other way. No turning right, no turning left, and definitely no turning back. You just have to move forward. But if this instruction is from God, if you are very clear it's God's will, pray that you have the faith to step into the water. Overcome the challenge. If you don't step into the water, if you just pray, okay, please open a way for me first and then I'll go in. No, God sometimes doesn't work like that. Unless you are spiritual babies. But you are not. So step in and you see, wow. And things are resolved one by one, step by step. There's so many testimonies in our life, in the brother and sister, that walk by faith, not by sight. I know God will make a way for me. So brother and sister, what are you facing right now? Maybe you are facing mighty water like this, right? The water was terribly strong, but God can help you. And let's continue to read chapter 4 verse 14 to 15. Next, chapter 3, verse 14 to 16. 14, yes. This is the real footage of Jordan River. I find on YouTube. What does it tell us? It's real Jordan River. I can imagine a few thousand years ago when they, the water's still coming back to me. So picture yourself in your life, if you face a water like this, what will you do? All right? So much challenges, so much difficulties, so much problems, so much struggles. But walk by faith. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 is a really good verse, brother and sister. I think it can summarize this crossing Jordan experience. Next, please. Walk by faith, not by sight. If you see the water, you'll never step in. If you see the challenge, you never want to move forward. You will tell yourself, I cannot do it. I'll fail. There's no way I can continue. But if you have faith, those water is to be stopped when you step into it. So look at this map again. They were crossing from the east of Jordan River, and this water actually from the north. But the moment they stepped in, the Bible recorded, where did the water stop? Verse 14 again. Verse 16. Let's read verse 16. Angela, can you read verse 16? Number 3, verse 16. The Bible records a very interesting detail here, saying that the water didn't stop right in front of them. Unlike when they crossed the Red Sea, the water became wall of both sides. When they pass, they can even almost touch it, I think, or so close. They can see the water wall, but not with Jordan River. When they cross, the water stopped upstream, far, far away. They don't even know how it got stopped. But it stopped just right there. And there was no scary moment like when you see the movie, like Ten Commandments. Have you seen the movie Ten Commandments? No? You should really see it. It's really a classic. I know you're not old, right? You're young, but classic is still classics, right? Wow, when you see the Ten Commandments, you know, Moses guiding them, passing through the Red Sea, you know, wow, all the wind blowing and the water was, whoa, it almost feel like just you can touch it, but the water didn't collapse on you. Dramatic. But this time, pretty calm. Oh, that's it? No water? Oh, the water just stopped there and the water dropped and then no more water coming. And they walk pretty calmly past the river. Wow. Peaceful. No chasing at the back. No Pharaoh's army. No water of war at the front. But it's still God's guidance. Faith is like this. Sometimes you experience something dramatic, change. But sometimes God just wants to solve things slowly. And without you realizing, oh, the problem's gone already. I didn't know. Wow, God is so amazing. He solved it. That is so wonderful. But it's always start with that step. That tiny step, right? I think there's a once famous saying about the moonwalker. One what? Moonwalker, the famous one, the first one on moon. Armstrong, right? One what? Come on, you guys. Do you read? One. Well, one. Well. One small step for mankind, right? For one person, right? And that giant left for our whole mankind. So, for the priest, for him, one small step for himself, but a big step for the whole people following on. It's all start from one step. So, brother and sister, are you willing to make that one step? Challenge yourself. Write it down today. If you want life to be changed, are you willing to make that small step of faith from now, from tonight, from this NYTS? Don't expect that all to be dramatic. When I go home, oh, things change overnight, you know. You become another person tomorrow, like six-pack already, right? No, it takes a lot of efforts, but starting from one single step. Or you don't know the Bible that well, but starting from reading the chapters, one chapter a day even. And after 1 year, you are different. When God's word into your heart, you're different, right? It's not that your IQ has been boasted. IQ will not save you. IQ will not bring you to heaven. IQ will not help you to make right decision. Don't boast or don't boast about or thinking about high IQ is everything. There are so many people with high IQ, but they're so miserable. I'm not saying that the lower IQ you have and the happier you are. Just to be average is okay, right? You just have to be obedient to God to be happy and blessed. If God gives you 70, like me, right? 70, 60, okay, not high IQ, but I follow God's will. I'm happy, I'm obedient, that's fine, right? So, it is very important. One small step from today. So, the assignment for today, tonight is, what is your first step going to be? After you learn this lesson, what is the small step of faith that you are going to leap out tonight on and from this NYTS? Are you willing to make that step? Make the change? And remember this tiny verse about where the water stopped. Tell me, where did the water stop? From far, far away, that city is called. You haven't even read the book, that's why you don't know, right? We have asked the sister to read the verse already, but the brothers still don't know what's going on. Where did the water stop, brothers? Anyone, any brother can help me, please? Yeah, the city of Adam. Why God arranged the water stop at the city of Adam? Adam, we know this most famous gentleman, right? He was the one who ruined our life. We could be all in Garden of Eden. No need spiritual convocation every day, right? We just close to God. We don't have to, you know, struggle so hard and don't have to study all the exam and fighting for jobs, right? But Adam, he ruined our life, right? And how he ruined it? Because he listened to the wife. Why? Right? So the woman ruins Adam's life, and Adam's life ruins our life. So be very careful, sister, right? You can ruin a lot of things if you don't follow God's will. If you don't follow God's will, because you are smarter, but if you don't follow God's will, you affect negatively. I'm sure I'm not joking. Come on. This is no joke. Right? Because woman is very influential. positive and negative. So Adam represent failure, represent the Adamic sin, represent anything bad. Because the water, there's a city called Adam. But the water have to be stopped there. And why there? Because if the water from Adam didn't stop, the water will wash you to where? To the Dead Sea. Look at this map. Maybe the city of Adam is somewhere up here. I don't know, but it doesn't really matter. It's up. But it's going down and down, lower and lower. The altitude of this ground, can you imagine, is going downhill. This is high land, and it's going down and down. And you know, Dead Sea is very famous for one thing. Famous for what? Being dead. Come on. That's why it's called Dead Sea. Oh, I don't know about this generation. No news, no, do not know Armstrong speech. Don't know about Dead Sea, what it's famous for. Please, right? Be Bible literate, be geographical literate, be worldly knowledge literate. Don't just play with your phone. So Dead Sea is being famous because it's dead. Dead means no life. Why there's no life? Because the salt content is too high. Right? Bitter, so high that it even becomes so bitter. And that can represent if you allow the sinful nature from Adam, write down, very important, I'm not telling jokes, this is about your life. You may be, you are just now receiving the water from sin of from the city of Adam. Even though you are baptized, even though you're born into the church, don't tell me that you are exempt from this problem. You are being washed away from the city of Adam. Where the water coming from? Those are the trends of the world, the influence, so-called the Western culture, popular culture, the music, the movies, the books, the philosophies, your friends, how they talk, how they dress, or the worldly values. Those are the waters coming from the city of Adam. And you don't realize it, it'll get bigger and bigger and bigger until it washes you down to where? To Dead Sea. No life. Yeah, you're living, but you are living dead. Have you heard a term about the living dead? The walking dead, right? You know the walking dead. Yeah. It's living, but it's dying. It's walking, but it's not living. This is the life of your generation, brothers and sisters. Young people seem to be so active, you know, so ambitious, full of dreams, full of passion, doing this and that, but actually no life. And it's washing down to Dead Sea. But it can be stopped. It can be stopped if you want to follow God and then make the first step. And then God will help you to deal with the sinful nature every single day. Your sin will all wash away on the day of water baptism, but your sinful nature isn't removed. Write it down. It's different. Sometimes we think that our sin is washed away, so I have no attraction to sin. Your sin is washed away, but your sinful nature is not. The flow is still affecting you. The trends of the world is still trying to trigger your evil desire, your lust, your pride, your self-centeredness, and try to wash you away and bring you down to the Dead Sea. And the spiritual Dead Sea is not a tourist place like you go to Israel. The spiritual Dead Sea is hell. It's no life. Hell, by the definition, is darkness, no life, no light from God, totally isolated from the glory of God. But it doesn't have to be like that. You can make the change. Once again, from today, from right here, that one step, if you want to follow God. Let's turn to 1 Peter 4:2. 1 Peter 4:2, next. And also verse 1, please. Verse 1 and 2 is very important. Tell us, how do we live a life worthy for God's will? If you suffer, if you're willing to suffer in flesh, you're cut off from sin. Why we always followed the sinful nature? Because we don't want to suffer. Listen to God sometimes cause us to suffer physically, right? For example, you say no to alcohol, you say no to drugs. Your body suffers, especially when you want to quit. You are already in addiction, any form of addiction, like online addiction, cell phone addiction. I tell you, if you check your message every 5 minutes, you are addicted already. And actually, by that definition, everybody is addicted now, because it makes our flesh easy and comfortable. But sometimes you want to cut it, you feel the pain. But if you're willing to suffer, you can cut off from sin, and then you can know how to live a life worthy for God's will and to spend the rest of your life. So cut off from Adam, the sin of Adam. The waters have to stop there. Deal with it from the source, not just the phenomenon. For example, let me ask you, any form of addiction, whether it's alcohol, drugs, pornography, or immoral relationship, where does it come from? Where is the source of all different kinds of addiction? Anyone knows? It all comes from one thing: the emptiness of the heart. If your heart is filled, you will not be addicted to anything because you don't need it. But if your heart is void, then you tend to look for something to fill the void, but at the same time, you get hooked. You get hooked up by those substance or sinful behavior. And the moment you get hooked up, it's so difficult to shed it off because you're already hooked up. So don't just deal with the surface. For example, you say, I have addiction. I don't know what kind of addiction, but social media addiction is also very serious, especially for sisters, right? For brother, it's internet addiction, pornography addiction. For sister, social media addiction, every minute. Why? Oh, I eat this. Oh, before you eat it, okay, take picture. Go to any location, picture. Post and then go to somewhere else, right? Social media addiction. I'm not saying that you shouldn't or you couldn't use it, but don't be addicted. But why social media addiction? Because your heart is so empty. You want people to recognize you, right? Before you can upload a picture, you spend 10, no, not 10 minutes, right? Or 5 minutes to Photoshop it. Make sure you look perfect. Brothers, why you are so hooked up on games? Or even pornography, because your heart is empty. You feel lonely. Deal with it from the source. Don't just say, I shouldn't do it. I know it's bad. I shouldn't do it. Yes, you know you shouldn't do it. But if you don't cut it from the source, if you don't draw close to God, if you don't let God to come into your life to satisfy you, it's hard to just say to stop it. But if your heart is filled with Christ, His love, His mercy, His peace. And you fill yourself with many church friends. And you are occupied with church work, plus schoolwork, and then exercise. Every day push up 1,000 times, and then sit up 2,000 times, right? You have no energy, no time, no need for your addiction anymore. So deal with it from the source. The source is you need Jesus. Deal with it from the source, from the Adamic, sinful nature. Don't just saying that, I have to stop. But if you don't fill yourself with God's word, God's love, and good habits, it's so difficult to just say, I want to stop it. After you stop it, what do? Tell me. If you don't fill it up with something else. So the biggest obstacle today, the Jordan River, is right in front of you. How are you going to cross it? It's up to you, right? But God will help us, and God has helped them. And after they cross it, God tells them to do something also very important, is to set up some memorial stones. Chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. Next. Chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. The leaders of the 12 tribes has been given one task. Each have to carry one stone, pretty large one, large enough for people to see, not just a little rock, but of course, not too big they cannot carry, but at least some size. So when they gather together, maybe something look like this in the wilderness, I mean, just right beside the river. They have to put all the 12 stones together for memorial purposes. Why? Because God wants to tell them, I did it for you. And from now on, no matter what, whatever difficulties you face, look at these stones. And tell your children for our ye purposes. It serves as a sign. It serves as a religious education material. Don't forget God. And when your children ask, what is this stone? Why are they gathered here? Oh, then the father have to teach them. You know, some years back, this is how our forefathers crossed the Jordan River. So what are the signs of God's grace in your life? What are the stones that in your heart? You have to always remember it. You have to write down your own testimony. Even not delivering here for everybody. You must be deep in your heart. God must have left some stone in your life. How God helped you. You must not forget where they are. If anyone tells you, how do you know God is there? Have you experienced God in your life? Then you bring out those stones. Yes. Those are the moment I experienced God. Those are the things that God helped me. Those are the grace. Even those are the struggles I went through, but I was not destroyed. You know, it could have been worse. I could have been depressed. I could have been in the mental hospital. If not because of God, I would not be here today. So, brothers and sisters, where are the stones that God left in your heart? You have to identify them. Remind yourself every time when you're weak and tell your children in the future. That, oh, no, this is how Daddy went through, right? You know, in NYTS 2018, July 30th, I discovered that there's some stone in my heart that God left a mark during that prayer. You know, I have given my life to Lord Jesus Christ completely. Holy Spirit, one more time, touch me. I cry. I tell myself, you know, I want to be a different person. I want to draw close to God. I don't want to continue the way I was. So those are the stone. Gather it. Place it in a very precious place in your heart and write it down in your personal journal. So another assignment of tonight is write down those stones, those moments of touching. So those are very useful for you in the future. So I have two assignments for you tonight, right? The first one is about the river. The second one is about the stones. So how many assignments have I given you already? 6? But I haven't received even one. I want to read your assignment, right? I want to read your personal journal, struggles. Share with me. I want to learn it. Yeah? So after you finish writing it, give it all to the counselor. And they will pass it to me. I want to write. I want to read. So don't just listen. And then you have to reflect. The moment you reflect, you grow. Okay, we'll stop here tonight. Let's all pray in silence. Amen. So give your assignment. Yesterday, I...